People, you're totally different than a lost person. But you'd be surprised how much you've got in common. Lost person this morning, you are totally different than a saved person. But you'll be surprised how much you have in common. The person that's never drank, drugged, or done anything of that sort, you're so much different than the one that has. But you won't believe how much you've got in common. Luke chapter number 16, verse number 19. If you have your place, I ask you to stand. Totally different, but so much in common. The Bible says, "And there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and in fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, and which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, likewise Lazarus the evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art in torment. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, brother. Great gulf is fixed. Great gulf is fixed. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, I love you and I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the wonderful service we've had already. I thank you this morning for the songs that's been sung. I thank you this morning that we can be fresh fruit that you can use, Father. Lord, I thank you this morning that the throne room of heaven is sitting down with us this morning, that we're in camp with a greater cloud of witness this morning, Father. I pray that the Holy Ghost would minister to people's heart this morning, Father. Lord, I pray that you just rain down in a mighty way. Father, I love you. I thank you. I thank you for Calvary. I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you that the blood is what saved my soul. I thank you that it's the blood that has secured me a spot in heaven. I thank you this morning that it's the Holy Ghost of heaven that has sealed me this morning, Father. And I pray for the next few moments that you get all the glory, you get all the praise, and I pray that they be a good seed sown this morning. Father, I pray this morning you guard my throat, guard my thoughts, open the ears of the hearer, and let the Holy Ghost have free reign. We ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Totally different, but so much in common. Here, as we come and we read the story of the rich man and Lazarus, it looks like they had nothing in common. If you look at the rich man, you'll see that he is rich, Lazarus is poor. The rich man has got fine linen, Lazarus is full of sores. You'll see that the rich man is clothed and Lazarus is exposed. You'll see the rich man is full and Lazarus is hungry. Totally different, but they have so much in common. If you look at the story, you'll say, preacher, what do they have in common? There's so much in common here, but I want to show you three things, and I want to do it in a way that would be pleasing to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Number one, they both had daily desires. They both had daily desires. As we look at the text, the rich man's desires in verse number 19 had been fulfilled on this side. There's nothing that the rich man wanted. There's nothing that the rich man needed. He had had everything. Look what the Bible says. There was a rich man. A certain rich man was clothed in purple. That meant he had a royalty, that he would be setting up higher than most people. It says that he was clothed in purple and in fine linen. If you seen him out, his clothes would be iron. They would be starched. They would have no spots. They would have no wrinkles. He would be a man of a fashion, if you would. And it said that he fared sumptuously every day. He ate what he wanted, when he wanted, how he wanted. He had to call nothing but the finest things he had, and he got it where he wanted it and when he wanted it. I'd say the rich man was clothed. Lazarus was not met. His desires that was not met, even though he had desires in his life. Can I say to you, the desires of Lazarus, they were small, they were simple, but they were serious. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look with me in verse number 21, talking about they both had daily desires and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. I want to say to you, they may have been small and they may have been simple. You say, how was they small, preacher? All he wanted was crumbs from the rich man's table. All he wished that the rich man would do would give him a crumb from his cake. He wished he would come off his high horse and help him out just a little bit. All he wanted was a crumb. All he wanted was something very small, but something that was very simple. What the rich man was throwing away could have kept the poor man alive. It could have kept that beggar alive. But you know what? That rich man couldn't see that. All he could see is what he had. They both had desires, and they had daily desires. What was small and simple to the rich man was very serious to the beggar. I want you to know what he wanted was enough to keep him alive, but he would not give it to him. Hey, this morning, can I say to you, if you're saved, you're a rich man this morning. You're rich in the grace of God. You're rich in the mercy of God. You're rich in the blood of Jesus Christ. And all that a dying world needs is for us to tell them that Jesus Christ is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. Hey, this morning, can I say to you, they both had daily desires. You're so much different, but so much in common. Not only did they both have daily desires, but they both had this. They both experienced death. Not only did they have desires, but they both experienced death. And friends, this morning, can I say to you, everybody under the sound of my voice, you're going to experience death unless the Lord comes back and raptures His church. Hey, this morning, can I say to you that as we look at the book and we look at the Bible this morning, look what I'm telling you. They both had desires, but they both experienced death. It doesn't matter where you're at this morning. You're not going to dodge death. You're going to come to that in your life, and you're going to have to be ready. Look what he says in verse number 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died. You know what he did? He died and he went on to be with the Lord. Hey, can I say to you, the rich man didn't go to hell, hey, because he had money. He went to hell because he didn't have faith in Jesus Christ. He was relying on His Word. He was relying on what he had and not on the goodness of God. Hey, this morning, can I say to you, it doesn't matter if you're rich or if you're poor. When you're leaving here, you're leaving the same way. Can I get an amen? If you leave in a coffin that's worth $1 million, or if you leave in a pine board box, Brother JD, we're all leaving the same way. We all have daily desires, but we all going to experience death. Whoa, glory to God. Let me show you this, though. I love this. Let me start off with Lazarus. It said that it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. Look what he says here, that Lazarus' desires was fulfilled. No longer was he begging. No longer was he hungry, but he was in the bosom of Abraham. He once was begging, but now he is silent. You don't hear nothing out of Lazarus. He's not screaming. He's not begging. Everything in his life is fulfilled. He is in the bosom. He is in the safety. He is in the rest. And he is in the comfort of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But let me tell you about the rich man that died. Let me tell you about the rich man that died in his sin. Let me tell you about the rich man that died in his trespasses and sins. The rich man's desires was also small. They was also simple. But they was also serious. On this side of life, the beggar had something small he needed. He had something simple, but it was serious to keep him alive. On the other side of death, we find the rich man. He finds something that is small. He finds something that is very simple, but it's very serious. Look with me, if you will. The rich man's desire was so small, simple, and serious. And here's the three things that he wanted at death. Look what he says in verse number 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. Hey, that old beggar, amen. That old one that laid out there at the gate. That old one that had dirt under his fingernails. That old one that didn't have good clothes. That old one that, well, glory to God. That old one that didn't have it all together. Hey, now he wants him to take his finger and feed him. Now he wants him to run his finger in his drain, give him a drip of water from his water. Hey, can I say to you this morning that he wanted peace? He said, Father Abraham, hey, you send Lazarus, I want peace. He had peace before he died, but when he died without Jesus, he had no peace. Can I say to you, the only peace in this world is found in Jesus Christ. He had no peace. He wanted peace. It was so simple, something so simple that he overlooked, and he did not have it when he died. I ask you a question this morning. So different, but so much in common. Let me show you another thing. The rich man's desires were small, simple. It was so small he wanted peace. He said, I want you to take the finger and dip it and give me a drop off of it. Let me show you something else he wanted. He wanted a prayer. Can I say to you, prayer won't do you a bit of good in hell. Hello? Prayer is for now, not when you die. Prayer won't do you a bit of good when you end up in a devil's hell. Prayer does you good now. If you wait till you get in hell and start praying, I want you to know as your pastor, it won't do you a bit of good when you're in a devil's hell. That place is final, and that's where it is. And that's why we need to accept Jesus on this side of eternity. You can't do it on that side. He said, Father Abraham, you send Lazarus. Let him dip his finger that I may get a drop. He wanted peace, but he wanted prayer. He was sick and tired of being there, and he had just got there. He was sick and tired of being there, and he just got there. Look what boys right here excites me. Look at the prayer he wanted in verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send into my father's house. What did he want? He wanted, number one, he wanted peace. Something so simple, something so small as a prayer, now he wants. Nothing he had on this side of eternity could get him peace now. Nothing on this side of eternity could get him a prayer now. He said, it won't happen. Can't happen. He said, well, if I can't get peace, oh, boys, people here right now, I'm sure is not living in peace. If I can't get peace and I can't get prayer, at least send me a preacher. And he said, I can't do it. You know who he wanted to go to preach to his family? The one that he ignored. The one that he looked down on is the one he wanted. He said, go tell my family. Send Lazarus to go tell. Totally different, but so much in common. Look what he says in verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send into my father's house, for I have five brethren. He didn't care about them when he was alive, but now he cares about them when he's dead. Amen? He says, for I have five brethren, that they may be testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. They have what they need to hear the gospel. This morning, can I say to you, we all have daily desires that need to be met, but we're all going to experience death, and we must be ready when that time comes. He wanted peace, he wanted a prayer, and he wanted a preacher. Something so simple, so small, but so serious. Friends, this morning the preaching of the gospel is serious to our hearts. And both had daily desires, both had experienced death. And when I read this text, it stung me to the core. They both had a definite destination. Nothing they could do about it once they got there. Have you ever been somewhere you didn't want to be and you got to get up and leave? Have you ever been there? Well, if I ever, or you tell your wife, if we ever get out of this, we won't go back again. Might even be church on Sunday. If we ever get out of this, we ain't going back again. Let me tell you something this morning. They was at a final place, a definite destination. How do you know that, preacher? You know what Abraham told him? He said, there's a great gulf fixed between you and I. There's a great gulf fixed. That gulf is fixed, and there's no way you can pass to and no way we can pass from. He said that destination that you're already at, it is a fixed destination and ain't nothing nobody can do about it. You can't pray somebody out of hell. Once they die, hell's their home. Once they die, if they're in the blood of Jesus Christ, heaven's their home. That's just the way it is. It's a fixed place. I see it's a clear place. I see that Lazarus was in torment. He was in pain and he wanted peace. He wanted rest and he wanted that in his life. But I see something else. It was final. This morning as I've studied this week and I have thought about this in my life, how many people wish they could come back to one more service? How many people wish they could walk down one more aisle? How many people wish they could hear one more sermon? How many people wish they'd get on their knees and repent and ask Jesus Christ to come into their life? How many people would give anything to do that? But it's done too late. You know not everybody that's in a casket goes to heaven. Y'all know that. Don't let no preacher fool you. Not everybody that dies go to heaven. Good old boys don't go to heaven. Good people don't go to heaven. Just because your papa and mama was good people, that don't give them access to heaven. Just because your mom and daddy was good people, that don't give them access to heaven. What gave the beggar access to heaven is his faith in Jesus Christ. His faith. It's a parable that's being told here, and I believe it's more than a parable because we have Lazarus, it's real. And he said that in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes. I see it's clear place. I see it's fixed. And I see it's unchanging. This morning, I don't know why God's laid this on my heart, but I want to share you just a few more things, and we're going to have time of invitation. If you are saved this morning, you ought to be the happiest person in this world. Preacher, you don't know what's going on. I know I'm not going to hell, and that's good enough. Amen. Hey, Satan can put all that he wants onto me here. He can give me turmoil. He can give me pain. He can give me what he wants to here. But I'm not going to experience him with him down there. Amen. Not by my righteousness. Nothing that I've done. No way. No. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. Whoa, glory. Let me show you this. Man, I'm telling you. Let me show you this. They had a final place and that's where they was at. Look with me if you will. They fixed destination. Clear destination. And it was final. Look at me in verse 25. He said, But Abraham said, Son, remember thou that in thy lifetime thou receiveth good things. And likewise at Lazarus, what he get? He got evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art in torment. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. You can't. It's a final destination when you leave this walk of life. I've heard of old times and past. They don't do it now because they're medicated when they die. Most people are. I've heard of time past that people that would not take the medication when they die, they look up and see angels coming. They look up and see heaven open up. They'd start calling for loved ones in the sweet by and by, coming back. They'd be hollering. Be hollering for them. They'd see things. They'd see things that you couldn't see, but they could see. And they knew they'd fixing to leave this world and enter into the glory world. And then I've heard stories of people that would be on their deathbed. And they'd get so violent and so outdone and so outstrung that the family wouldn't go visit them no more. Because when they kiss my legs, they're burning, they're burning, they're burning, they're burning. And they'd get in there and they'd say, there's nothing there, there's nothing burning. They'd pull the covers back and their legs would look fine. They'd say, but I'm burning, it's so hot. They'd turn the air conditioners on, they'd turn the fans on, they'd turn all kinds of things on, trying to comfort them physically. And what they needed was spiritual comfort by the Holy Ghost of heaven. And said them people would leave this walk of life screaming. Screaming their eyes out because they was already burning. This morning I want to say to you, by the blood of Jesus Christ, you'd never have to have that experience in your life. He took hell on for you and me that we don't have to experience it. He says this, let me show you this in Romans. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter number 10, I want to show you this. You say, preacher, this morning we got so much in common, but so, oh my goodness, so things different. Everything, but it's so in common. Preacher, what is the difference? This is the difference. This is the difference. How do I know? How do I know that when I die that heaven's going? How do I know? Boy, I'm trying to be good, but I come up short, don't we all? I try to be nice, but don't we all? I try. Listen, you getting to heaven ain't on what you're going to do. You getting to heaven ain't going to be on what you do. Because if it was going to be on what you do, he wouldn't have went to Calvary. If it's going to be what you was going to do, he wouldn't have went to the cross and bled and died for you and I. So, well, how am I going to get there? How am I going to make it? Bible says in Romans chapter number 10, man, I want you to know, I thank God for salvation, don't you? If you've seen me walk daily, you say, oh, I don't know if that old boy's saved or not. Can I say to you, it's by the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, we're a tired generation. We're a tired people. And we ought to both be the most excited. I don't know about you, but I'm happy. When I read that story about the rich man and Lazarus, Brother J.D., I know which one I am. Amen? Woo! Glory! I know which one I am. And it ain't by nothing that I've done. And look, let me show you this. That in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Can I tell you, I've done nothing different than that. I've done nothing different than that. Can I tell you, I believe that Jesus Christ, let me say this, I'm going to tell you. Let me say that, I'm going to tell you. That I believe that Jesus Christ came born of a virgin, left his home in glory, came here, all God, but became all man. And he walked 33 years on this life without sin, yet he was tempted with sin. He had no sin. He went to an old rugged cross and laid his life down. Nobody took it. He laid his life down for me that I might not spend eternity in hell. Put in a borrowed tomb, and on the third day arose again. The Spirit of God came down, entered that body, and he came forth alive and well. Now he is seated at the right hand of the Father, always making intercession for those that believe on him. No longer do we have to put up with Satan and his lies, but it's by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want you to know on the authority of God's Word, there's nobody in heaven no other way than by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not on works, not on gifts, or anything else. It's by the blood. He said, preacher, if you know what, well, hey, listen, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession's made unto what? Salvation. You know why old Lazarus was in heaven? Not because he was poor. They're going to be poor people in hell. They're going to be poor people in heaven. They're going to be rich people in heaven. And they're going to be rich people in hell. You know why he made it there? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We'll leave you with this. We all have, everybody in this room has desires of this life. Things you want, things you need. Everybody in this room, listen to me, young kids. I'm telling you, as your pastor, listen to me. You're not too young to die. You ain't got to be old to die. You just got to be ready to die. You ain't got to be old. You just be ready. How old is just be ready? Just be ready. Be ready. Everybody in this room has desires. Everybody in this room is going to experience death. But my question to you, are you prepared for your final destination? When your time comes, make sure no preacher has to stand up there and fumble over you. Make sure no preacher has to stand up and fumble over you. And try to comfort a family that they know that the way that things was just wasn't right. Don't let that be. Let that man of God stand behind that sacred desk and say, let me tell you on his profession of faith. That's why this morning I asked Brother Eric, are you washed in the blood of Jesus? Well, that does him good today, but that does Sister Tanya good on down the road. Because I know Brother Eric's prayer, like every other man in this room, you want to carry every burden she's got. But one burden you don't want to have to tote. You want her to tote that one. I want her to tote that one. In this room, ask Brother Jerry, are you washing the blood of Jesus? It does him good now. It'll do your kids good on down the road. It'll do your family, your church good. This morning you got desires, you're going to experience death. But are you ready for your final destination? Once you make it there, there is no coming back. Father, this morning I'm praying for the one that's sitting there saying, I've let my desires get in the way. I'm praying for the one that is scared to death to experience death. Lord, they're worried about it. They're shook up about it, but they've already been saved. And Father, I'm praying for the one right now that don't know. Father, they don't know if they draw their last breath this morning. If they go to heaven, they don't know. Father, if they've been there, they should know. Father, if they've been saved, they should know. Father, the rich man knew he was in hell, and Lazarus knew he was in heaven. Father, we know. Father, my heart is so heavy this morning for that one that's walking around that just don't know. Father, give them confirmation this morning. Give them hope. Give them peace. I rebuke Satan this morning from this altar call. I rebuke him out of this place. He's already in the ears of the hearers. Father, I pray the Spirit just break loose. And that one's that the desires of this world that's hindered them, that they cast it away. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, that no longer do they worry about the things of this world. But they're ready. When their time comes. Father, I love you so much. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my friends. But I thank you most of all that I've been born again. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen.